Okay, hi.
Hey.
Oh, it's a little yawn.
Yeah, I got a little yawn there.
You're a little tired after your March break camp.
All right.
How was your camp?
It was great. I loved it.
Good.
Yeah, loved it.
Good groups. I didn't go on the ice.
I know you didn't.
I was removed from the ice.
Yeah. That was great. Kids were awesome. Had a young group.
How was the younger group?
I haven't done a young group in a long, long time.
Yeah.
And it was good. They were good. You're limited to what you can do, but yeah. They were good.
They weren't a pain in the ass?
Nope. They were good.
No, that's good.
It was good. Good to see, I love seeing little kids listen. Like, they're actually trying, some of them really trying to absorb it. And, and I'm so aware of how old I am to them now. I actually made them sing happy birthday to me. All three groups. I just said, so it's my birthday next week. And, I won't see you guys. So I said, if you guys want, I think you could probably sing happy birthday to me. So they all did. And I acted like, oh, my God, that was so nice of you guys to think of my birthday.
And they, don't even know how funny that is.
Right.
It's so funny.
They don't even know what a 75 years old. They must be looking at me like, why are you on the ice? You're old.
Yeah. Yeah. You look like my grandpa. That was the one you said, right? It's my favorite thing with the kids is finding the funny ones. When they're the funny ones. Okay, so here's the thing, little tip for parents. It's not that serious, guys. When they're that young, it's not that serious. It has to be fun. And so even when I had a treadmill session last night too that I was doing, and sometimes the dads, or the moms too, but usually it's more the dads, they're just watching every second and all about, and I'm not 100% teaching every second because the kid's going to want to punch me in the face and go home. So you have to layer up elements of fun and goofing around, and I like doing that because certain kids, they're freaking funny, man, and they're smart and they're observant, and it's funny to see which kids check into which thing and that kind of stuff when they're little. So I do that all the time with kids. I'll make up nicknames for them or make them make up nicknames for other guys or the stuff like that, just goof around. So it's
Well, it's no different than watching your son play because you don't have a son, so you don't know that, but you watch your son. It's very hard to just watch the game till you get smart. But you watch, and I remember my kid's first year in the OHL, because it was critical. If you want more ice, you gotta be on spot, right? So it was the littlest things, pucks in his own zone. Okay, I'm not telling him after, but you watch and you go, okay, you gotta get back hard, bud. Okay, good. Go, it's coming to the wall. Get on the wall. Okay, you gotta get it out. And all these little things, because getting that puck out was everything. Going to the net and doing the little things or everything to get more ice. So you pay attention to all those little things, right? Then you realize that after a while, it's just a process, and you're going to be first year guy, second year guy, third year guy, and you're going to have, it's going to become automatic after a while, and you just got to go through it, and you got to relax and let your coaches coach and let your son figure it out, and it takes care of itself.
Yeah. I would like to remind parents how things take time. It takes time for things to happen. So even something as simple as the treadmill, I'm trying to get the kid to correct something. I already know they're not going to get it. I already know because they need more time to do it. And so you can see sometimes parents get frustrated or they struggle with, oh, my kid's not getting it and whatever. They're going to get it, man. Just you have to give it some time. If the kid stays, he keeps working on it and he's actually just trying to get better at it, he's going to get better at it. So when I, for a full shift, we're talking about something that has nothing to do with skating, it's so that there's a comfortability relationship aspect. It's a little bit fun. It's not so serious because at the end of the day, they just want to have fun. All these kids that we train, they just want to play the game. As you always say, they're not trying to train the game. They want to play the game. So in the training environment, it's important that you keep it lighter and fun for portions of it so that they are still engaged and like doing it.
There has to be an element of it.
Yeah,
an element of seriousness.
Yeah, but you can feel like they need to get it today or have it right now. And it's like, they're not going to have it right now, man. So just chill. It's okay, So with that, I wanted to talk about I had a question about this, and I wanted to talk to about the idea of who people should listen to when they're giving advice. And we did an episode a long time ago about kind of evaluating sources of information. And I want to revisit some of that because I think it's a timely topic now that we're going into tryouts and all this stuff is coming up. Guys are wrapping up seasons and all of that. And I was having a conversation with BioSteel Dan last week, and we were talking about whatever parent question he was asking me in the podcast that we did. And I was saying to him, like, whenever I give answers, we do this thing where we play both sides. And then he's like, let me stop you right there. He's like, I always find it better. And this wasn't in the podcast, but he's like, I always find it better when you take a side, like pick a side and go with the side. And I said, and he was kind of saying it to me in the sense of say what you actually think. And so I told him, I was like, this is what I actually think. There is not a right answer. I will always say exactly what I think. And like, we've just met, so we're just getting to know each other. He doesn't really know me or anything like that, but I'm the last person that's going to say things to please people. So I was telling him there just is no answer, because he was genuinely asking questions about parent things to do with hockey, like how parents should, how should they train their kids? What should they expect at certain ages and these kinds of questions? And my answer is always, it depends. Could be this or that. Nobody knows the answer, but these are things to look for. And it can feel like we're being ambiguous, so to speak, but there is actually no answer for a lot of these questions. There's not one way to do things. And so I was explaining that to him, how you have to figure out what works best for your kid where they're at. There's guidelines and things you can follow. And I think that's the same kind of mindset that we'll take into talking about this stuff, is that there isn't actually one person or one thing or one way, but there's indicators and there's red flags and there's things that are better and worse. And that's just coming through experience and having more or less studied this kind of stuff over the last, for me, over 10, for you, 25 or 100. How many years
have you been? More like 100.
Yeah, right?
25 of training, but yeah. 51 of hockey, playing and coaching and all that stuff.
Oh yeah. Well, yeah, I guess for me too, then it'd be over 10 of coaching, but it would be more like 30, almost 30 of being in the game from the player perspective and the coach perspective. Right. And so before I throw it back to you, I was having a conversation with one of our guys, our older guys from our U18 team, and they're asking about next year, and they just don't know, man. They just don't know who to listen to. They don't know what the good advice is for their kid and these kinds of things. And, you know, they hear this from this person, hear that from that person. And we touched on a little bit last year last episode about how people just spread rumors and they'll just say things that mean nothing. And you can believe it. It can be believable when people present it. So maybe first just kind of opening thoughts on that thread of who to listen to, whatever. And then I want you to also talk about how, like, sometimes people don't take advice, or they don't actually listen, or they ask and they don't hear the answer or whatever. So you can kind of take that to start, and then we'll just kind of tailor it.
Yeah. Well, okay. So one thing I think I mentioned to you earlier today, how, you know, I had a couple of people talk to me this week, and a couple of the guys that were working, they said, oh, what do you think they're going to ask you today? And I said, they're not going to ask me a whole lot. They're going to tell me everything. Right. That's why I get that a lot. So people have their thoughts a lot of the times, and they want to hear the answer that they're talking about. That's what I find a lot. But I find I don't want to generalize, but like very often people come in that have questions or that sort of thing, but they don't ask the questions, or they ask the questions and they start telling you the answer. So they don't really listen.
Yeah. They're looking for the rebound effect. Yeah. They just want you to say
that. And
what
I think the other side of the question that you asked me was, people are kind of, when you say they don't listen a lot of the times, it's because they don't like the answer. Right. So if you say, should I play? This is a very common one in our area. And I'm sure it's everywhere, because people are in a hurry to get somewhere, because number one, it always, like, a lot of the times it's ego driven, right? Like, so if you have a chance to play U18 or to play junior B, junior A, or something like that, which one would you do? And if you look at there goes to your point, it all depends. Not everybody's the same. So some people, it's going to be very, very beneficial to play U18. It's for some people, it's going to be beneficial to play junior B or junior A, or go get to the OHL, or if you can. So, but again, it depends. So, but the answer that most people don't want to hear is stay at U18. That's so, you know, then they start talking, yeah, but, right? But you're asking me the question, and I'm giving you, based on what I know from you, this is where I think it would benefit you. And then they say, yeah, but this, do they get buried? Will they not get drafted? Will they, you know, they look, is it, so, and the other side of it is a lot of ego. It's a lot of ego driven answers because you want to get ahead of other people. It makes you feel better. Makes you feel you're on the fast track. And it's something that, you know, Charlie's general manager said to me a long time ago, was, everybody's in a hurry. Everybody's in a hurry to go to the same place. Right. So, I think the important thing is when you're asking questions, it's like really look for substance in someone's, when someone gives you advice, look at the substance of it. And there's might be a couple key things in there that are very, very important, even though you don't want to hear it. Right. So like, let's just say you are drafted, you get to the OHL and the coach says, you know, you want your kid to get more ice. Like that would be everywhere you play. You want more ice. But maybe at that level, you're looking and the coach goes, yeah, you don't get more ice until you get to this point in your development, right? Or power play, whatever it is. And it's like there's reasons and you have to be willing to listen to it because if you don't, you just get frustrated, you know? And so like just the last thing, I think, and I heard this not too long ago, and I was talking to a good friend of mine who scouts, and we were talking, and one of the biggest mistakes a scout makes, and it's no different, like it's no different than asking the question, right? You're looking for an answer. A lot of times when people scout, you like a player or you dislike a player like immediately. Let's say you like a player, okay? So if you continue to scout and you get challenged on maybe hockey IQ, maybe I don't think he's that smart of a player, but you like him and then you just start fighting for that kid. No, but he's really smart. But you're looking for what you want to see, not what's actually there. So you start not being real about it, right? You're creating an illusion of what this player can be. So it's no different than like, you know, you're scouting a player, you're saying, oh, this is what I think he's going to be. And he might have three games in a row that doesn't live up to it, but you start making excuses or reasons why it's happening. It's the same thing in other things, right? Like you find this is what we think, that this is what we see, and as you know, you fight it. No. That's the part where you got to be just honest, right? You got to be honest and take a good look long term. And again, it comes back to try not to make every decision based on today. Try to look 3, 4, 5 years down the road.
Yeah,
so or longer, really.
So, I kind of maybe a little change up here. I'm just curious when. Because a lot of people ask us questions, they send emails or texts, or they come in and talk to us and ask us for advice. I have like a kind of process, but for you, what is your, like, how do you evaluate the person that you're talking to give advice? For example, you get the guy that comes in and it feels like they're not really listening to what you're saying. What's your approach with that guy versus if the guy comes in who was maybe like my dad was with you, where you feel like they'll actually listen, versus if you're talking to a kid and you're giving them advice, like how do you curate or how do you decide the type of advice to give, how deep you're going to go with the kid, or just evaluating the person that you're talking to? Is that
That's a fair question. Yeah. No, that's good. It's probably not the answer most people would like to hear. If you come in and you ask questions about your kid, but you're doing all the talking, and if I talk, you cut me off and you say, yeah, but, or whatever, you know, then I start looking, okay, I'll just let you talk. And then you walk out of here and you feel great because I know that I'm not getting through anyways. Yeah. And if you wanted me to just be a garbage can with a hairy lid, that's fine. See you later. But I always like to ask questions. So if someone, you could tell if someone actually wants the advice by when you ask a question, or when you say something, they just listen a little bit, and then you ask a question. So if you say, let's go back to the U18 again, U18 versus junior, so what should we do? Then obviously I'm going to assess that player. I'm going to ask some questions about it. It could be about their environment. It could be about it could be their age, their development, all these different things, and kind of make a general assessment on them and then start asking questions. If they start answering those questions and they talk about it, you see that there's a discussion, then it appears like they're most likely on the, I will listen or I will take advice. Doesn't mean I'm going to listen to everything, but it seems like that person is going to take some of the advice or some of the information and absorb it and analyze it or take it. Whereas the people that just do all the talking, it's like they're going to do what they're going to do anyways. And I've done this for a lot of years with a lot of people, and I've spent, you know, I used to get caught in really this is what I see in Chris. Chris does this. This is where he should be. This is, in my opinion, this, this, and this. And they go, yeah. And then, you know, and now take 2 weeks off. And then Chris takes 3 seconds off and his dad's got him on another ice. So he didn't listen to one word. So part of it is, do they listen? Do they communicate? Will they absorb it? Number two, so that and you might get fooled. And you get by and what I mean by fooled is they go, yeah. And then they do the exact opposite. It's like, okay, now the time that I'm going to spend with you is going to be a lot less or a lot more intense or less intense because I'm not going to put all my experience or thoughts into something where you're just here to listen to yourself talk.
Yeah, you know, for sure.
So, because I don't like to listen to myself talk, to be honest with you.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's so easy to pick up on when you're, as soon as somebody walks in the door, you can just tell the kind of person or the kind of conversation that you're going to have by the first sentence that comes out of
their
mouth.
Yeah, and a lot of the times it's there's always a very negative connotation to things. Hey, the coach is an idiot, this, the parents are dumb, we need to move. And those are the indicators like, okay, we got someone that's just got issues here.
Yeah, and I feel like for the reason I'm asking it kind of this way is because a lot of people that listen to the podcast resonate with how we speak about things. So I know they're looking for resources like what they feel we're offering. So, but they don't have the hockey knowledge. So they're just like honest, good people that they want, they just want advice. They want, honestly, just, can you help me to do this? Because we get that all the time. Like, I wish you guys, we live closer to you. I wish we had access to you guys more, yada, yada. Or with the members that always are booking consults, they're looking for genuine advice and they would be on the same page if they had the resources around them. And so the only reason I'm pointing these things out is because now when people listen to this and they go to get advice, you know what people like us would be looking for in terms of how we're going to curate our advice to you. You know what I mean? The next part of it that I wanted to ask, because I get this a lot, is how do you feel about people getting multiple opinions on things? Because on the one hand, for me, I think more opinions is better generally, like get as many as you can get. But
to a degree.
This is the to a degree part, because if you don't really know how to sift through the information, and you run into three idiots versus one quality resource, well, the three idiots could sound like they're right if you don't know how to navigate the landscape. So what do you think generally about the getting second, third opinions, multiple opinions on any question that you have with respect to the hockey development thing?
I think it's great to have more opinions because it's providing you're getting it from good sources, right? That's the key. And then you might ask four people and get four different answers, but at least you're getting quality sources with different opinions and whatever, right? Like we're talking about one player. I talked to a couple scouts in the summertime about one player, and I said, what do you think they need? And they said, one said, power skating every day. Another one said, yoga every day, get stay off the ice. It's like totally opposite, right? Let your body heal and stuff. So, but it was good information because you piece that together. One saying, you know, get flexible, get yoga, get your hips to rest. And the other one saying, work on that skill. So you kind of blend it really. So, you know, I took that player and I said, okay, so probably you don't need to be on the ice every day because, you know, and I agree with I agreed with both, but I disagreed totally with both. So I put them together, and it was actually fairly successful. But anyways, you look for information like, so number one, I would ask an opinion of someone that I value their opinion, not some dad that couldn't give two rips. Like, I always say this, like, if you're going to ask someone a question, like, give them something to, like, you're better off to ask someone that has something to lose. Right, so someone comes to me and they don't know me at all, and I I'm a dad, right? I'm in Kitchener, Ontario, and some guy goes up to me and, oh yeah, I heard your kid plays here, or you train players. Like, what do you think of this? Like, if I give them like just flippant information, just do this because I do this. This is how it works. Blah blah blah. And they just take that and run with it. It's like, that's probably not good because I had nothing to lose there.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, there was no investment that you had in giving that advice.
Yeah. So if I never see this person again, what does it bother me? Right. So I would, and I mean, there are people love helping. Like, well, I don't know that, but people love to give their opinion, but like you could find people Let's go back to that U18 thing. Okay, so who do you have? Like, are there anybody locally that you would know that played the game, right, that are fairly current? Or ask the U18 coach, like, just ask them, like, okay, that opinion might be like, why should, like, okay, U18, as opposed to going to Junior B or Junior A. All right. Big decision for me as a player. Who do I ask? Well, you could ask the U18 coach. Now, you know that you already know that the answer is going to be leaning like you should play here, right? Fair enough, right? Now, a good person would say, well, I'd love to have you play here, but if you played here, this would be like, they'd show you the good sides of it and then show you the good sides of the other thing and then kind of leave you with a decision to make, right? A shitty person like that, if that person was coaching, if you just automatically says you play here, this is the way to go, I'll develop you, blah blah blah, then you might want to look and say, okay, that guy was just in it for himself, you know. Then you look at, is there any players recently that played that my son might know or my daughter might know or whatever that has been through this recently, and tell me the good and bad of you playing U18 as opposed to playing Junior B. We're using this as one example, right? And then you get, oh, it was, so like, you might find a guy that, yeah, like the U18 was good for me because I ended up getting drafted in the OHL from it, or it gave me a year to develop. I grew a little bit and I had a great year, got lots of ice, and I'm a better player now. And right. Or you're going to get a guy that, yeah, I really wish I didn't do this because it stagnated, but you're getting an opinion. So I think the more that you form of that, the better. Like, that's the bottom line. I think the biggest mistake people make is they go to the wrong people. Like, obviously, it's so easy to get, like, it's even like every now and then I look at the comments and I go, like, this is actually pretty funny. There's one person that, played a little bit, runs some kind of hockey stuff and has an account. I'm not going to say who, what, when, what account and all that stuff. But every time he makes a comment, he goes, yeah, well, that doesn't work, or that it's always a negative thing. It's like, anybody can do that. Like, I could watch any practice or a clip and say, well, yeah, that's wrong, or that, yeah, but, and pick it apart. It's like, okay, why don't you offer something and then let someone else pick you apart, because we can do that easily. So anyways, when you talk to Joe Dad that knows everything about everything, it's easy for him to just throw his opinion out. There's nothing to lose, nothing for him to gain. It's just, likes to throw his mouth around and talk. Like, where did you play? How did you play? Like, do you make intelligent decisions with your son? Do you do anything different than other people? Like, there's a lot of things that add up to, like, that'd be a good person to talk to, right?
Yeah. It doesn't matter who you talk to. I think the two big indicators for me, and I try to do this whenever I talk to anybody about anything, is can the source acknowledge where they're either limited or don't know? So for me, as an example, when people ask me about our academy program for next year, when I'm talking to them, I'll say, I would say this, but I think this is going to be where you get your best development because we have the best people involved and yada, yada, yada. But I work here. So I always throw that caveat of self-awareness so that they can hear that I'm acknowledging, obviously I would say this because I work here and I don't know other places because I don't work there. So my opinion is obviously going to be biased towards what I'm doing. So there's one. And then the second one is being able to say, I don't know, when you don't know what the answer is, because there's times where you don't know the answer because nobody knows the answer. And if you find someone swimming for answers just so they can get you what you want to hear, that should be a red flag. And you can kind of tell, like, at least I can, in the throes of conversation, you can feel when someone's stretching or when they're talking in a circle or when they're not really giving you a direct answer. And those are the big ones for me.
Finish up. I was just thinking, going off on a couple of tangents there, like, cause that's, we use one U18. So let's just flip it around. Like, so if someone say spring hockey or development, right? There's another thing. Or how good of a coach do you need to have to be a player? So if you asked let's say you asked someone like myself, or someone that's played in the NHL or junior or coaches or whatever, someone higher level, you said, well, hey, what do you think of spring hockey? And their answer is stupid. Okay. No, but like, that sounds like, okay, it sounds like an asshole, but the guy played. So maybe you want, okay, why is it stupid? Like, why do you think it's stupid? And they go, well, because, like, whatever the reasons are, it's waste. It's all it is a moneymaker. Oh, okay. So, and that's all you're giving me? Okay. So maybe that's true because that guy played at a certain level. So you might want to consider that and then explore that with other people, right? Development, it's, or spring hockey is like totally important. Like, no, you have to do spring hockey. It's like, oh, okay. But somewhere it lies in the middle. And it's, and again, it goes back to your thing is it all depends, right? Yeah. So so for me, when I give that answer, and I've done this a lot of times, I always, when I talk about a spring hockey or development, I go, I just think it's too much. Here's why I think that. And, you know, I give reasons that, yeah, it costs a lot of money for what? You're always on the ice. You never get a break. It's blah, 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 blah. And I have my opinions, but I always leave it with, but if you feel like that's a thing that you need to do, then God bless you, man. And the horse you rode in on.
My thing, the big one I'm getting right now, because all these junior teams are starting to have their camps. Everyone. I'm getting a lot of, should I go to this camp or not? Or I got this invite to this camp. Should I go? And I say the same thing to everybody about every junior camp. I don't care what anybody says about anything. All of those camps are to make money. That's number one. They're charging you money. It's a fundraiser for the team. That's what it's for. Even if they coach says, hey, come to our camp, they still want to make money. That's the point. But having said that, I'm not taking it to the extreme of it's just a moneymaker. It's irrelevant. They don't pay attention to who's there anyways, because that's not true. So
there's an element of scouting.
Exactly. On the one hand, it's a moneymaker. But on the other hand, people, this happens to people all the time where they go, they paid to go and they were nobody, no name, and they made an impression. They made it to the main camp or whatever, and then they went on to make the team. That happens. So it's both. It can be both. And it's just being honest about both. Like, where do we do this to raise money for our team, but we still want to find the best players. So if there's someone we don't know about, then that's good. So what I tell people, my answer for that particular question is, yes, it's a moneymaker, but if you can afford it and logistically it makes sense and it's not like a pain in your ass and you want the experience, that's fine. You can go. You can go. Don't camp yourself to death because you could be running around doing camps all summer if
trying
you wanted
out every
to,
day.
You know, and then you don't really have an off season, but for that, it's fine. And that's an honest answer. And that's knowing how it works. Like, we work with junior teams. Like, I know how it works, you know? So that's been a popular one where people just can't seem to tell the difference of, oh, is this person actually interested in my kid or am I getting a generic? And most of the time people are getting generics, but that doesn't mean it's bad. Like, that doesn't mean it's a bad thing every time, you know? So being able to evaluate that kind of information is important because those are the questions that are going to come up. It's always the same questions every year. It's the same questions all the time, you know? So I wanted to go to maybe different sources now. So I want you to, with the different types of people I talked to you about here, I want you to kind of give the version of the type of person you would listen to versus the person that you wouldn't listen to. So I'm going to start with parents, first of all, because parents, a lot of them in youth hockey, a lot of them don't really know a whole lot about what goes on beyond youth hockey because they have young kids that are in youth hockey. Some of them do, some of them don't. Some people know more than others. So if you were to present the version of the parent that you would avoid versus the version of the parent that you would maybe listen to, because a lot of these people, like, the parents are your friends. Like, these are the people that you're going to get advice from. These are the people that you're going to bounce ideas off of because they're in your network. So what's the kind of version of each of those, the good parent, the bad parent that you would pay attention to versus not? And how highly do you value that opinion in general?
There's a couple parents that when I grew up, when I was bringing my kids through hockey that were pretty intelligent people. So a lot of the times I'd base any information I got, it wasn't necessarily the hockey piece. It was just common sense or they had intelligent approach to questions. Right. So like one of my friends was a doctor and we would talk about things and, you know, we'd have conversations. They would typically talk about the hockey, but I would like, talk about other things, and I would find that people that had interest in other things that could talk and maybe talk about their life or their business or their profession or their lifestyle and stuff, you can kind of pick, okay, this person's got their head on straight, right? So you can actually have a conversation.
It wasn't just 100% hockey every second.
Yeah.
Is that what you mean?
Yeah. So when it came down to if we talked about hockey and they mentioned something about, hey, what do you think of this? They were asking a question that was like actually a question. They weren't looking for the right answer. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So then sometimes I would say something because, and there's a lot of parents that were kind of careful to not like careful to what they said to me because they didn't want to sound like dumb or not. I don't want to say it like that, but they knew that I knew something. But when you're dealing with like people that have a brain, they can challenge you on things and you're not offended by it because it's just like in common sense. Like they could look like, for example, let's say one of my friends he has a doctor, and we would talk about things, and he would talk about his son, my son, not on the same level, but it would be like, we're on a different level though. My son's here. I go, yeah. And then he goes, so do you ever think of like with your kid, just think of practical things like, would it be better to stay back or to this, that, and the other thing? And we could talk about it. Like I would just get some good life thought patterns rather than just straight up hockey stuff. I don't know if that made sense.
Well, if I'm tightening it up, basically you're saying that the parents that you would speak to that could, number one, talk about more than just hockey, so they're not just enthralled with youth hockey at all second of the day. It's not the most important thing necessarily in their whole life. That was one positive thing from the people you talked to. And then the second is they seem to have an element of realism to their conversation where they could gauge honestly where different people were at, where they were at, and not just with hockey, but just with anything. They seem to have a level of intelligence or common sense about those things. So when you had the conversation, it felt like it was actually reciprocal and that they were hearing you, you were hearing them, and that we're actually being productive here. We're not just spinning, talking about who knows what kind of things.
So like an example, I was having lunch one day with, like, this has nothing to do with hockey now. I was having lunch one day with a person who is an actual billionaire, and we're shooting the shit, and he told me that every year he gets rid of the bottom third, maybe a little less, but bottom third of his staff. He goes, because they're unproductive. I said, really? And then he explained it. I said, that makes total sense. So if you look at it, say you have 100 people, it's the 80-20 rule almost, right? So he goes, there's that people that are always dead weight. And no matter what you do, they're dragging you down so you can replace them. So I just flipped that. That's what I'm talking about, a conversation. How does that apply to hockey now? Or how does it apply to my business? So, and really for the business, it was very true. Our bottom third of our employees year after year are the ones that it's like, we don't need you. You're just here taking a paycheck. What about hockey? Well, if you think of a hockey team as a coach or as a player, that really you're probably going to get rid of, if you turned over the bottom third of your team every year, you're probably not going to be in a bad spot. Right? Because you might get someone hungrier, you might get someone that listens more, you might get someone equal talent with a different version of whatever. So that was a conversation that had nothing to do with hockey, but it had everything to do with applying it to hockey. So that's kind of what I mean. It's like if you could take conversations that have common sense and you apply it to
you can extract the lesson.
Yeah, extract the lesson.
Yeah, yeah, okay.
Yeah.
So now give me the version of the parent where it seems obvious, but the type of person that you're going to say, okay. But honestly, though, because there's some of these guys, like I got one guy in mind right now where for some reason people want to listen to this guy. And I can't, I can't understand how wherever he goes, he's able to get people's ear to listen to him. I don't understand this. But it happens year over year. And I'm curious as to how parents can't see it or get trapped by it. And what the qualities are, like, if we use, because it's not even one person I'm thinking of several different people, and what qualities,
same person, different face,
yeah, like what qualities do you think that person has that makes them enticing or makes it seem like they might know something, where you feel like parents could get trapped by what this person says.
Well, they get themselves on boards, they get themselves on coaching, they get themselves involved in the spring team, they get to know a little bit of this person, that person, and this person, and they talk to everybody and they're involved in everything, and they told you about what's going on in Hamilton, and oh yeah, this guy, the coach in here on Perth is this, and the guy in Ottawa is this, and they're in the know of everything, and they throw enough mud on the wall that some of it sticks for people. And for me, it was just that guy, don't talk to me. For me, that was like at the games, hey, how you doing, man? That's it. We're not talking. Well, I don't mean we're not talking. What it means is we're not talking. No, what it means is that we will not talk.
Well, like, it's what you said before, as like, if we do talk, it's a version of talking that We're not getting into this.
Not really talking.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right. I don't want to hear what you have to say, and or I'll just talk and I get out of there as fast as I can. I always like to be nice to people. I always like to be friendly enough, like, hi, how you doing? Because people deserve that. And I'm, who the hell am I anyways? But when we start talking about, you start hearing their opinions, like, just leave me alone, man. Just stay away from me. And you're dangerous. And they have the secret conversations on the side. It was so funny. Like, they come over and ask you, like, hey, did you hear about this? Like, there's the rumor mills. Hey, you hear about this? You hear about this? I'm like, no, or I did, but I always say no. And then they go and tell someone else, and it's like, I should stay away from them. I just stay away from them. Because at the end of the day, like, I know this isn't rocket science. Like, there's such a small percentage of people or players are going to move on to any level. Like, it's such a small percentage. And it's not to say that your kid won't or my kid will or anything like that, but it's such a small percentage that all this talk is nonsense anyways. Like, I honestly, I said this to you, maybe it was a couple podcasts ago, and I've said this to you a million times, is when my kids played sports, Avery was in volleyball, Carter played hockey, baseball, and Charlie was every sport. I actually just wanted them to play sports. I played sports with them because I love sports. I enjoyed it. I loved everything that sports had to offer, the good and the bad, because the bad, it makes you a better person too. But there was a point where my son got to, in, I think he was 14, where I said to my wife, I said, okay, based on where he is right now, if he continues to develop, he will get his school paid for because he's got the base. That's all I ever said. I never ever talked about the National Hockey League, right? But there, it took that long, so I enjoyed it, and I knew that at that point, 14, it was 14 or 13, based. But I qualified it too. If he continues to develop, he's got the foundation to have his school paid for. And then it was 14. I said, yeah, his school will get paid for sure, because the next level is like, who knows? Nobody knows. I don't care who you are. Except for the very, 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 very small amount. So all the talk to me was nonsense.
Yeah.
Just me.
Yeah.
Just me.
So if we switch gears, like, the parents is, you would think it should be easier. Like, I don't think that you should hold any parents. I mean, there's exceptions, obviously, but there's no parent necessarily that I would hold their opinion in such high regard for anything, unless they're an exception of maybe we're a former player, former coach.
Yeah,
former
but something, even but even that, then. Like, I would, yes, definitely. But then it's there's so many variables,
yeah,
to it.
Exactly. Like, so I'm bringing that now to the coaches. So because as coaches is more tricky now, because you would assume that your coach knows more than your parent friends know, because they're the coach. And a lot of coaches now that are in the, at least the AAA loops, they played to some degree, or they're getting paid a little bit, or on paper they should have more knowledge, or they should have more of an honest opinion about things, or they should be able to point you in the right direction. And a lot of parents would assume that. And I remember this even when I played, like, the names of some of these coaches flying around, like, these coaches know something. Only for me, once I got to a higher level, looking back, I'm like, these guys didn't know anything. These guys literally didn't know anything. And everybody was like gung-ho about this person. So, same kind of question now to coaches. How do you value or decide who to listen to versus not from the coaching perspective, when you have different kinds or different levels of coaches with different experiences that may have played, may not have played, may know this guy, may also be a scout, may be this or that. But how do you judge as a parent or somebody who doesn't know those types of situations with a coach, the good version of the coach to listen to and the bad version of the coach to listen to, kind of thing. This episode of the podcast is brought to you by the PowerTech Online Membership Program. If you've been listening to Andy and I wondering, hey, how are they able to get all this podcast content out there? Well, that's because of our members. For just $9.99 a month, you can get access to our online video library, including hundreds of videos of Coach Andy teaching, and have the option for consultation calls with Andy or myself to go over anything you need. We can cover training, nutrition, coaching, parenting, agents, the junior college hockey path, whatever's of interest to you. You'll also be able to participate in our popular Ask Me Anything episodes, have access to special discount codes, and be given priority for any PowerTech in-person camps or events. If you like what we're doing here and you want to support us, this is the best way to do it. Visit powertechhockey.ca/memberships or find the link in the description of this video to learn more.
Yeah, so to answer your question, like from a parent's, like I think the important thing to do is you have to, when it comes to the coaches, is you have to have they're your coach, your kid's coach, and you got them no matter, it's for the year. So you cannot like the person, you cannot like the way he coaches, you cannot like the way he looks, all those different things, but you do have to respect that he is the coach. So that's number one. And if he wants to do, roll all the lines, if he wants to do this, that, the other thing, it's like, it is what it is, and you have to kind of deal with it. And then you have to decipher, say, like the hockey piece is he's in charge of the team and that it is what it is. If you don't like that, then you should try to coach yourself. Where the line for me will get drawn in the sand of what advice we take or what we listen to is when it gets outside of the game. No. I've got to qualify that because I just contradicted myself a little bit. Would be if he says, oh, you need to get to the gym, and the guy's never been to a gym before. Like, you're just using those words because you heard that before, right? So it's like there's a certain point where you have to totally – you got to buy into the system because that's just good team stuff, and you got to play the way they would like you to play. And then, but the advice outside of that is maybe something that I would question or have my own conversations with my kid. So, like, now there's things where coaches a lot of the times will, and this I'm talking even good coaches, they'll do things, everything's for the good of the team. Okay. Let's say you got a really good coach and they're everything's on the good of the team, and they might even tell you that, you know, let's say I don't want you shooting at all. It's like, well, sometimes you have to shoot or finish a hit or whatever. But I mean, as far as the X's and O's goes, you got to follow the system. Outside of that, it's like, okay, I don't know if I'm going to take your advice on certain things. Does that make sense?
So I guess my question from that is, or I guess a statement first would be, does the coach now, or did they at some point kind of walk the walk? Because I think a lot of coaches, to your exact point, they'll say, you have to do this, you have to do this, you have to do this, you have to do this. They've never done it. They haven't been there. They don't know what it's like. Why are you saying that to me when you haven't done it? It's just something you heard, kind of to your point. But then the second thing for me is, as the parents now, it's like, how do you evaluate whether or not the coach is going to be good? Because I remember it can look good on paper to a degree, but I also remember parents dying to have a certain person as a coach that was no good.
How do they know though?
But this is my question. Yeah. It's like, how do you judge, like, what is the process to evaluate when you don't have the base? Like, who do you, maybe it's an impossible question, I guess.
Well, I think, like, if you're looking for, like, as a parent, I think your number one thing as in youth hockey, your number one thing would be that you have someone that has a little bit of a clue about hockey, like as far as just the hockey goes. Like, I would never expect a youth hockey coach to be a great coach. Because if they were a really, like, a great, great coach, they'd probably be making some money somewhere. If they
were
great.
Somewhere else. Yeah, right. Yeah.
And I'm not carving there's many very good youth hockey coaches. Hard to find sometimes, but like to be really good. And what is a good coach as well? It's teaching the game, having a good dressing room, having, you know, like optimal would be good relationships with the kids, parents, you know, with boundaries, all that kind of stuff. Teaching the kids, you know, how to behave on the ice, even like little things like don't act like jackasses, because all that. But in general, I honestly wouldn't expect my youth hockey coach to be a great coach. That'd be number one.
So
I think
so just in general, you shouldn't necessarily listen to everything they have to say, or you should take things with an appropriate grain of salt, because you can't expect them to be the Jesus Christ of coaches anyways, kind of thing.
Okay, so let's just put it this way. If I, you know, I've been a skills coach for a couple OHL teams, right? And that's my strength. When I sit there with DJ, if I sit there with DJ Smith, and he goes over a video, like when we did that, when I did that with the Spitfires, and they would go over video and break the game down, X's and O's, here, here, and here. It's like, I'm not clueless, but I'm not that good, right? So, is he a good coach and I'm a bad coach, or am I, right? Or do you say, well, he's just a better coach than you? Like, well, in that area, for sure, for sure. So, like, it depends on what you value a good coach. So anybody that's coaching youth hockey, if you can compare yourself to, like, he's a professional coach, X's and O's, break every little thing down, like so many smart things. I use him as one example because he's a friend of mine. That's a really good coach. That'll blow your mind. But if DJ sits with Mike Babcock, which he did, or when he sits there with Barry Trotz and they go over things, he sits there and goes, Jesus, this, I thought I knew something. I don't know anything. There's different levels of good. So when you get to youth hockey, like, your expectations have to be at a certain level. To me, it's like, can you run a practice? Can you have it run a practice with purpose? Can you treat kids somewhat fairly, meaning, you know, can you get them on the ice and develop them? Can you run some sort of system that resembles a hockey game? Are you giving them decent information? And honestly, some of them can't, and some of them can, and some of it's just good enough. But I think the expectations of parents a lot of times is way too much.
So in general, would you say, because I guess this is kind of the conclusion I'm coming to, is you can only make the best decision you can with the information that you have. So if, like, given that you feel you can trust the coach's opinion and trust what they have to say, that would be how you gauge whose thing you're going to value more than others, or whose opinion you're going to value more than others. Was that, like, a fair way of gauging it as a parent? I'm just trying to give them, like, a practical thing to take home. So
just say it again.
So if you, as a parent, you're like, okay, I like this person. That's my coach. I feel like they reasonably know what they're doing and are appropriate for the level. I feel like they have common sense and can speak logically to me about things, and they're not that super, so I just trust this person. I feel like I have some trust with this person, and I can believe what they have to say.
I could take some of their stuff.
I might be wrong.
Yeah.
Because I don't know. Yeah. I don't have a frame of reference.
I think you'd be willing to take their opinion.
This is your best bet in terms of whose opinion that you would value, kind of thing. Is that fair?
That's fair. Yeah, I can take some of their opinions and say, okay, I can take some.
Yeah, cool. Okay. Yeah. So
I use an example of you in scouting, right?
That was my next one was going to be talking about scouts.
Oh,
scouts.
Well, but I'll just just say this, like, because you take opinions, right? Like, I'm just, when you think that you know, and then you realize, oh, okay, because, like, I'm friends with many, many scouts, and they could watch a game, and, you know, it amazes me what they can pick out of a game. Like, it actually amazes me sometimes. And you could say, well, what do you mean that you're taking the best player? It's like, it's not just what you think. They're looking at years down the road. They're looking at so many different things. Like, they're finding little things that you would never even notice, right? Whereas you say, well, that's a really good hockey player. Until you become a professional, like, that level of knowledge is like, and they're still wrong, and they're right, and they're wrong. Like, you never know, but it's like an intelligent opinion. And it's no different than when we do skills, right? Someone thinks, how do you shoot a puck? Well, a lot of ways. Like, a good skills coach is going to show you many, many, many ways with very, very small details. It's not just about shooting a puck. So, like, there's layers of being good at something, right? So you could trust someone's opinion, yeah.
Yeah. So if I go to, I'm going to finish on, last one I'm going to do is, like, the scout thing. But the next one I want to do is, what about listening to other players or professional players? So to your point, you earlier you asked, or you were mentioning, like, if there's somebody who had played at that level that you could ask, like the U18 example you gave, this guy played U18, maybe I'll ask him. So how do you gauge from a player perspective, maybe coming more from the player side of it, if you're going to ask a player for their opinion on things, what are you kind of looking for as a player from another player in terms of whose advice to trust versus not? Because you can get the guy that they do all the wrong things, but they were just really good. It's like, okay, do I listen to that guy? It's like, I'm probably not as good as that guy. So can I do what that guy did? Versus, you know, the muck and grind guy who's been chipping away and has a very different perspective. So when you're talking from player to player now, how do you maybe gauge who's a good person to follow, who's a good person to get advice from, who's a good opinion to trust coming from another player?
Are you talking, asking a player that's older, obviously?
Like, yeah, someone who you would consider a role model or someone that you are going to ask a question to. So it would probably have to be someone who's, you know, older or been where you're at, or even maybe not even, like, maybe it could just be, hey, I'm thinking of coming to this team. Like what, how did you like playing for this guy or whatever? But I feel like it'd more be the older guy that you're asking.
Yeah. I think that's a tough question because you never know, like the person that you ask questions to, you might not know them well enough. They might not care that day. Like, it's a tough question, but like, so to go off the charts a little bit is, if you have a relationship or you have access to someone that has played at a higher level or in the situation that you're in, it's certainly worth asking questions. To your point about, this is a really good point you made, is some guys just have talent and it doesn't matter what they do, which I would always default to go to the guy that's had to work the hardest, because it's just the truth. Most guys are going to have to anyways, right? Like, if you think that you're going to get to the OHL or college hockey or pro hockey, whatever junior level, and it's going to be easy, then you are wrong. Like 99.9% of the time. So default to a guy like Dalton Prout,
that
who had to figure out every single way, every little secret. Like, there's so many little nuggets that he throws out every time he speaks, that it's valuable stuff that always ends up becoming true. My son realized every time, he goes, like, it's almost on a weekly basis. He goes, Dad, remember when Dalton told me this? He goes, yeah. I go, I know. You know, it's about the mindset. It's about everything. So I would default to someone that had to work hard, because that's what you're going to have to do. And if you get there and want to stay there, then you're going to have to do it for sure, to whatever level that is for you. So I would definitely go to a person that has the work ethic and has been through some grind. And then you got to find someone that can give a shit. If you can't find someone personally, a really good place to look at is, and I would do this, I would say this to a lot of people. That's why I like to listen to a podcast or a clip from someone here and there, and I'll send it to a player or two that I know that, not going through stuff, but it's just the reminders of just listening to someone about, like, it's a clip, it's an interview of an NHL player, an NHL coach talking about the way it is. And, you know, if you hear that long enough and you can extract the message out of their thing, then it's almost like being a friend.
Yeah.
With unbiased opinion, right?
100%.
Right? Like, so, like, a lot of people don't like Mike Babcock, right? And, but if you actually listen to his message when he was coaching, what was the one thing that he always said? Not that I'm expecting you to remember, but because it's in my brain right now, it's you got to get better every day. You got to get better every day. Said that as a pro, you know, he's got to get better every day. Tortorella, what you hear about him is being better every day, never taking a shift off. Don't get comfortable early. Don't let it get good to you. And what he's saying all the time is, like, the work boots have to be on every single day, because you could, a practice, a bad shift, a bad practice, a shit attitude one day can send you back to the minors or to whatever. So, like, that's really good advice. And then, you know, You eliminate all the fluff, like all the fluff. And if you just take like those two examples that I used and you work your ass off and get better every single day, practice with a purpose, don't let it get good to you, like you never take it for granted. That just simply means you're going to be working your ass off. And if you do that, no matter if you play at this level, that level, talk to this person, that person, do all the right moves, do all the wrong moves, if you put that work ethic in every single day, that's your best chance of getting to the absolute highest level that you were planning on getting to. Everything else really is fluff, right? The details of, like, even, you know, you never hear a coach criticize a star player for back checking or blocking a shot or grinding, right? It's always a valued thing, right? You'll never hear someone, you know, one of the things, who did I hear the other day? First one on, last one off. First one on, I forget what coach it was. Anyways, I was listening to an interview real quick, and there's someone that's been scoring goals, and he goes, yeah, he goes, it's no secret. He's the first guy on practice, last one off, shoots 200 pucks for fun. That's why he's scoring goals. It's like, okay, there's the lesson. There's the lesson. It's the work. It's the habits. It's like everything else is actual fluff.
Yeah. Well, I wanted to talk one more piece about listening to either scouts, agents, advisors. Like, that would have been a good wrap-up, but I do want you to touch on that still. When you're getting advice from a scout, when you're getting advice from an agent, when you're getting advice from an advisor, this one to me, I'll just throw my two cents first, is you have to know the motives of the person. And for me, when it comes to agents and advisors, that's like a shady area, because some of them, you know, they get kickbacks from this team, or they work closely with this team, and they're incentivized to send you to a certain place, which may not be particularly in your best interest. But then even from actual scouts, when you were kind of touched on it earlier about them giving an opinion about a player, what to listen to, what to not listen to, what do you kind of think about those types of people and the advice they give and that kind of thing?
Scouts, a scout, if you have the opportunity to talk to a scout. It's funny, I had one of my son's teammates who was suspended. I introduced him to one of my friends who scouts. And I said, I'm not going to say names. Here, this guy. And he said, oh, can I ask you a couple questions?
The kid said that, or the scout?
Yeah. And he asked awesome questions.
Can I have an example of a question?
Yeah. How do I get better? How do I get better? And the scout knew exactly who he was, and he told him, you know, as a D. Like, it was really funny, right? He goes, as a D, he goes, make sure when you're coming back that you're looking over your shoulder, you've already made your decision. Basically, made your decision. So now you're not thinking about it. So that's the scan. Make that decision as soon as you don't think. Make that decision. Don't try to hang on the puck. Don't do this, this, and this. This is the type of game you are. If you do this, this, and this, good things happen. Sometimes you try to do too much. It's a marathon, not a sprint. That was great information for him, and the way he explained it to him was really good. He goes, "There's guys that." Make it at all different times. He goes, and you're a marathon guy. He goes, like, you might not make it till 23 or may never make it, but it's going to take you time. Just like everybody. Everybody thinks it's a, like George says, right? Everyone's in a hurry. He goes, take the time. He goes, things happen. So those are like some of the questions. And then he gave him some particulars on how to play. And it was very, very helpful for the guy. And they kept talking because it was like, so the scout was like very happy to help him. Because he was like not asking stupid questions, and you know, told him to be consistent and all that kind of
okay,
stuff.
Okay, so, sorry, can I cut you off? So was this? I'm assuming this was an NHL scout. Okay, so the one caveat I want to throw at this is people call themselves scouts, and there's different levels of scouts. So if you have someone who scouts from the whatever Shoppers Drug Mart Blue Team scout,
let's say it's a scout from a subscription-based scout that put out rankings and stuff like that, that they're not scouting for a team or they're not scouting for a league. They're scouting for a
whatever
subscription.
Okay, but even that's if they're, even scout. If they're scouting for a team, though, like if they're scouting for like a low-end whatever team, when like you're a scout, but okay, it's not like the highest of quality that we're talking here. Like that opinion is different than the opinion that you're talking about. So just, I want to make it clear, like just because you have this thing scout doesn't mean that that's the most important person. I'll give you an example for myself. I had to go to a kids game a couple weeks ago and I was there to watch players. That's what I was doing. They're kids though. And I have my little sheet with their names because I want to know who's who, because I don't know the kids. And I have kids coming up to me asking, because they know who I am. They come up and they ask, they're like, oh, are you scouted? Which players are you looking at? But yada, yada. And it's like, this isn't really scouting, guys. It's like, yes, I'm like watching the players to know who they are, but I'm telling them, I'm like, I'm not a scout. Like, I'm not scouting. That's not what I'm doing. Even though you could think I'm scouting. And for parents, if they saw me there, which they did, and I have my little list, it's like, oh, this is this guy's scouting. And it's like, I am, but I'm not. Like, I'm not actually a scout. I'm not someone who I wouldn't call myself a scout. That's not what I'm doing, you know, and it's not my job, and I'm not professional at it. So you need to be careful, even as parents, as players too, but as parents, you can see the guy with the coat who's got a clipboard and you can be like, oh, this guy's evaluating and watching. It's like, that's not the same person necessarily as the one you're talking about, you know? So just be careful with who's calling who a scout and what their opinion actually means, you know?
Yeah. But having said that, people that do watch a lot of hockey games, and if they scout, even for like what I talk about, that subscription-based scouting where people find out what there are, they watch a lot of hockey. So if someone like that, if you had a chance to talk to them and say, hey, what can I improve on? I wouldn't diss it.
And it's not that there's no value. No. Saying that there's a gradation.
I wouldn't diss it. I would say, because if you hear, the thing is if you hear over and over that you don't move your feet, probably don't move your feet, right? Or if you show bad body language or improve your body language, however it's said, then that's probably an indicator that that's something you can listen to, right? It's a pretty common thing. And then when you talked about the advisors, the other thing that this scout said to him was, as a D, he goes, just make sure when you're getting pucks in bad spots, like rims or like when you have pressure and stuff, he goes, just keep it out of people's feet. He goes, I'd rather you send that puck out like this high or that high, so at least when he goes to get it, my stick's up and I can poke the guy in the eye rather than getting killed, right? So it's like little things, right? So that can help a guy's game, because like basically those kind of things that he was saying to him was like, now you're making other people better when you make decisions, right? So, and then as far as advisors go, agents and advisors, like that's a really interesting one too, because this comes back to see the agents, I'm not carving it. I'm just saying it a certain way. Like an agent wants the best for, at the end of the day, they want the best for them. If you can make $1 million as opposed to 500, I want you to make the 1 million short term. Like I want you to succeed because then I succeed. So sometimes the advice may not be the best. And what you have to remember is there's many agents that did play that know exactly what they're talking about. And there's many agents that didn't play that have no idea about hockey, or they know very little. And a lot of times you get agents almost become like parents sometimes, as you're watching, you want one thing for that person. So if you're a goal scorer, you didn't score, or you weren't aggressive on the forecheck, you know, your agent calls, is like, you got to be more aggressive. It's like, okay, thanks for the advice, but my coach wants us to play a 1-3-1. I'm not allowed, right? Or you should run that guy. It's like, okay, but it was 2 minutes left in the game and it was a tie game or it was close or whatever, and it wasn't appropriate. It's like they're looking at one thing for your individual, whereas you got to keep in mind that you're playing for a team and that counts. That makes a big, that has a big say in every decision, how you play the game, right? So like, and then it comes down to, again, it's like, what's in it for you? What's in it for me? And what do you actually know? I know sometimes it's a tough thing, because you can, as agents, you can throw around names. Well, I got this guy, he did this. And it's like, okay. But, and then they don't know you inside out. They don't know you, what you're feeling, what you're doing, how things are going. You know, a lot of the times they just like, let's just say you're a player in the OHL. Okay. Your season's not going as good as it can. And a lot of default is, well, let's get you out of there. Or let me call the GM and bark at him. It's like, but does that help? I don't know. Like, and I'm being that honestly. For some guys, it seems like that's the greatest thing to do. Just get the squeaky wheel going, right? They get the grease. And for other guys, it's like, that might be the worst thing to do. But if you're the agent and saying like, let's get you out here, move you somewhere else. But you're like a kid that's loyal. Your family's like loyal, and you're proud to wear the crest, and you love this place, and you love your teammates. And it's like, your advice is, well, let's get you out of there. It's like, well, that's not, maybe not the right thing for your kid. So it's like, so that's why, like for me, I think like on the agent advisor side, it's like they're there for business, right? So a business issue, that's what I think their job is. Some advice is good. Like there could be things that you can get from agents, especially if they played and they've been in those situations. I think you can take a lot of that stuff. But then I think they have to realize that some advice is inappropriate because you don't know what's going behind. You don't know what the conversation you have with the coach was or the general manager or the team. And I think to me, that's the most important thing is to play to help your team win. And I know that will be counterintuitive to a lot of people because a lot of people think it's about me when you play. And it is about you, but you'll be a better you if you make your team better. To go back to scouting, that is something that scouts see. And if they don't see it today, they'll see it tomorrow or down the road. And again, that goes back to everyone's in a rush. It doesn't have to go your way right from day one. Like things tend to work out if you're a good player and do the right things. And that sentence that I just kind of said kind of is feedback that if someone was to ask me things, they would say, well, that was kind of honest, right? Like that was an honest statement. That's how I would give advice to people. It's not always, you know, like when kids say stuff about their teams or whatever, it's always like, that's what I always say is like, you have to follow your coach's instruction though, right? You have to follow that. You can't just think about you. If you think about you all the time, then there's 20 other guys.
Yeah.
Right. You know, and you fit in the system and do your job, do it well.
Yep.
I think.
No, that's great because my last piece kind of just to finish up was to say at the end of the day, regardless of the type of person, whether it's a parent, a coach, a player, a scout, or whatever, all these people are just people and they're going to have good and bad. And there's things you can pick out and apply. And just generally the seems obvious is you take what everyone says to you and you try to formulate something that makes sense. Because, you know, you can get a guy like Mike Babcock who obviously has issues that and there's reasons for why he's not a coach now. But that doesn't mean nothing he says is right or correct or good, right? So it doesn't matter if you're dealing with the guy that's the idiot or the best person ever. You can pull things out of everyone, good or bad. You know, even if they give you the wrong advice, that's still a good thing to know.
Like from a coaching perspective, you can see guys that are playing somewhere and they're just like what, they're not very good, and all of a sudden they go to another team and someone saw something different in them. So not everybody's right. Yeah. Right? Depends who you have. But my other thing would, like, not to cut you off, but I did, is don't be afraid to ask a question. It's one of the most underrated things that a player, a parent can do, is it's okay to ask a question. I think a lot of times ego gets in the way, and don't ask the question like because you need to be right. Ask questions, you know, like if you're concerned about development, like at whatever level, like instead of just pissing and moaning about it all the time, like ask the question, like I'm concerned, like, is there any reason, especially if you don't know what you're doing?
Yeah.
Well, right.
We were having this conversation the other day about, just yesterday I was having this conversation about how to get kids to like understand how to navigate these types of problems and figure things out for themselves and just problem solve in general. And it was exactly what you said. I'm like, you got to teach the kids. You have to ask them questions and force them to think about answers. You know, teach them to ask questions and force them to have to think about it and make sure that they're solving a problem for themselves when they can do that. And that's the best way to develop. And that's the best thing you can do even as a parent when you don't know, man. You don't know the answers. So you have to ask and you have to listen and you have to think about things critically in order to come up with an actual opinion that makes sense or that'll work for your family or your kid, or your kid has to do the same thing for themselves. Like, they get advice from 15 different people, you included, and they have to figure out what makes sense for them to be doing, you know? So that's my last thing, is just whoever the person is that you're trying to get advice from, it doesn't matter. It's you have to be able to pick out the good, filter out the bad, and everybody's going to have both, whether it's the best person to listen to or the worst. Like, I'm sure everyone listening to me has heard me say at least one thing where they're like, I don't know about that, you know? So you have to be able to do those things regardless of the source. And I think that's the main thing I wanted to get through, because I've been getting so many questions over the last couple of weeks about these kinds of topics of who the hell, like, how am I supposed to figure this out, man? Like, we're trying to figure it out and there's just so much conflicting information and all this. So So that's why I thought that would be good to talk about. So anything else? Finish up?
No, I think I'm good. Yeah? You think I'm good?
Unless you can joke if you have something to say.
No, I would just be regurgitating.
Yeah. Okay, cool. Yeah.
But the bottom line is like nothing to say.
Yeah, yeah.
But the bottom line does come back to like just put the nose to the grindstone and go. Work hard. Good things happen when you work hard. I don't know if there's how many bad decisions you can make. You know, like the team you play on, if you let's go back to that U18. If you stayed back one more year, is it going to ruin your hockey career? Probably not. If you move up one year, is it going to ruin it? Probably not. Like maybe put some challenges there, but it's probably not going to ruin you. So just do the right things for a long period of time.
Very good. Okay. All right. Stop now. Okay. Goodbye.